This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet, he's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! What a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Tom, it's March Madness, and nothing says March much like talking football, because that's what we'll do today.
You know, the football season never ends, and that's okay. Yes, we've got college basketball, but we also have football, and it's been amazing weather up until now, so the team has been out on the field, but we know that field's not going to be around much longer, but it's been nice to watch them zip the ball around, fly around that field. Good times, my friend.
Yeah, T-minus 10 more days is really until demo day at the factory takes place. But before we get into football, we do need to talk some basketball. Tremendous week of basketball. Conference tournaments wrapped up. The NCAA tournament kicks off this week. Then you've got all of the other alphabet soup of tournaments, whether it's the CIT, the CBI, the WBIT, the WNIT. You pick your four-letter combo. You probably could have your own tournament.
Well, what's been somewhat surprising is you've seen a number of teams refused invites to the WNIT. I know Indiana comes to mind. A couple of those schools decided they didn't make the NCAA tournament. They'd rather not play any postseason basketball at all, which seems like a mistake because play more games, get a little development, work with your staff. I think some coaching staffs might be worried about the portal opening up, NIL deals, recruiting, that type of stuff. But I was surprised to see about 8 schools pass on an NIT bid.
Yeah, the NIT is not what, I mean, it was what, the most prestigious one point before the NCAA tournament. So, and the weird part was they changed it so there were no more automatic qualifiers. So, if you look, there always used to be, Toledo would always get in previous years, and now they're not involved because the NCAA just wanted to load up on Power 5 teams, and I can see why a lot of MAC schools are like, no, we're not going to just pay money to be in a different tournament, and it's sad when you see their seasons come to a close because the Toledos, the Ohios certainly warranted continuing to play, but they'll be sitting at home just like we are.
But you obviously saw you got a lot of FaceTime on TV, my friend, over the last few days at the MAC tournament. It was nice to see the whole group of you down there next to the bench. You guys probably had the worst seats in the arena because I know what it's like to call a game by the scorer's table and the coaches drift that way. But you were right in the epicenter where the coaches like to stand. I don't know how you guys stat a game when you can barely see it.
It makes it very difficult. We did 14 games. And if you didn't catch the MAC tournament, they have the usual scorers table, which we were always connected to. Now they wanted to add 5 seats on each side for the high money dollars. So they scooted us even further down, which meant, you're right in the coach's box. And it made it for a hard time. Thankfully, they have a video board the length of the entire floor that you just kind of turn up to and you can see. The hard part is you got to remember it's backwards. So like there were a few times Scott or Alex would say, near paint. And I'd have to remind them, you're looking at the video board, not the real floor, because it's reversed.
Yes. Yeah. It's flipped up there. What's the term, near paint?
Yeah, near paint. So you have in stats, we have to put in exact shot locations.
So it's near the paint, but you're on the wrong side of the paint.
Correct. So because I can't see, is I've got to put my stylus where I think the shot is. But yeah, we were screened out by coaches, but it was fun. 14 games, 7 men, 7 women's, a lot of good basketball. There were some highly competitive games. If I would have given you my list of teams who I thought would have won, I was almost dead wrong each and every time.
I think we talked about it last week. I had Toledo and Ball State women in the finals. That was a huge whiff. I missed on that one. And, I didn't surprise me Akron was there, but Kent State on the men's side as an 8 seed getting there was unbelievable. And me sitting at home watching it, all I could think was Eastern beat both of these teams and didn't make it to the MAC tournament. And here's two teams playing to get to the NCAA tournament. Like, it's just got to put it together for a long enough run during the season to get to Cleveland.
Now I'm flying the banner of we beat you, so by transmittive properties, he should be in the NCAA tournament.
You can transitive property all you want, but they're sitting at home watching this one.
Yeah, so it'll be a good match. I mean, I'm intrigued by some of the others, the stories. Greg Campy getting at Oakland, getting to play Kentucky on Thursday night. That should be a fun one. So for a team that we saw come into this building and play us, you look at Keith Dambrot, who was at Akron for a long time. Of course, everybody knows him because he was LeBron's coach. He was an assistant here back in the 80s, but he, in his final season at Duquesne, gets to take his team to the NCAA tournament. They haven't done that in 50 years. And then you look at what Long Beach State did. They parted ways with their head coach on Monday, and he goes out and proceeds to win 5 straight to get them in the tournament. That I'm sure is a fun one.
Yeah, that makes for an interesting stretch. It's like the coach at Utah State on the women's side. They lost, and then someone asks her, how are you going to rebuild next year? And goes, apparently I'm not. I've just been told I'm fired. So some ADs pulling the trigger real quick there when their team got bounced from the tournament, and some of them a little too quick.
Oh, we had that to witness that hands-on experience last year in Arizona State with Herm.
Yeah, they were waiting for him in the back of the end zone. And by the time, remember, we flew back the day after the game. They kept the team there till Sunday. And by the time the plane touched down in Michigan, all the news was Herm Edwards is done. Like, that was the beginning. I think Chris Creighton killed the Pac-12. That was the beginning of it. Herm Edwards fired. The bike started to wobble. And now it's a conference of two teams.
Yep. Now we turn it all back around because we talked about football, and that's what we'll have plenty of. Spring football opens. They will be on opportunity number 4 today. We spoke with Chris Creighton the other day to get his thoughts on year number 11 as the head coach here at EMU. It's kind of weird to say, and you will hear him talk about that because he had some kids on campus that were looking at coming to Eastern Michigan, and he had to remind them that, you were 5 when I took this job.
Isn't that crazy? It goes fast. It goes fast. And he also talks about how much he loves this time of year. You're not getting ready for any games. You're just coaching. You're putting in systems. You're developing guys. It's a much lighter feel around practice. The intensity is at 100, but the pressure's off, and then the teaching is going on. And I went out 2 or 3 practices last week, and it was fun to watch. And it was because being at those practices that I stumbled into our second guest, and that is the father of Doji Dowe. Doji is a junior for Eastern Michigan this year, transferred from Santa Rosa Junior College, transferred from West Africa, but Chris Creighton had him introduce his parents, who had flown 25 hours from West Africa to come watch a couple practices and see Doji. You can't miss him when you see him this season. He's 6'9", 295, playing on that offensive line. I laugh when he's on the sidelines because I can see his face over everybody's heads. That's why I think he might even be taller than 6'9". He's a giant out there, but he's only been playing American football for 2 years. Now, he said his parents don't really speak English. And of course, I don't pay attention to what people say. So I just went up and started talking to his parents. And the English was great. The dad speaks English, French, Dutch, the national language of Africa. His mother speaks Italian, French, English. So it was like they're an incredible couple to talk to. But we're going to spend a few minutes with his dad talking to him about him and what he thought when his son decided, I'm going to go to America and play football with dreams of going to the NFL.
As much like you get this treatment with around practice now, when you're known as Drew's dad, he is getting the notice as Doji's dad. He does have a first name. It's Severin, to how I've gamed it to be, but he pronounces it a little bit of an accent, but you can tell he was having fun out there.
He was laughing and smiling the entire time. I said, listen, no matter where you are in the world, the games can always be live streamed on the radio. So you can listen to Doji's games every step of the way. And they were just kind of taking in the whole experience. It was funny. I finished the interview with Severin, and then Creighton had come over to talk to them to make sure they were doing okay. And Creighton goes, you know what, Tom? You should interview this guy. I go, I got news for you. We just wrapped it up. I did the interview. He goes, that's fantastic. So he was fascinating to talk to, and they're enjoying the whole experience. They want to come back this fall and watch a game, put in the 25 hours of travel one way to get here to do that. But they love the opportunity their son is getting. He had offers. He could have gone different places. He really found Eastern Michigan to be a home and a place he wanted to be. So we'll see how he does. He's still very green, and he's still got a lot of learning to do, as anybody would if you've only played a sport for 2 years. They're not playing this game in West Africa, so he didn't pick it up there. He did play a little bit of rugby. He does have the tackling and that, so I don't know if that helps you on the offensive line, but it was just fascinating to talk to him. I mean, people coming halfway around the world to play football at Eastern Michigan is fun.
Yeah, it's a good interview. I was not at practice, so I didn't get to meet him, but it's a great listen to, and I'm sure people will certainly enjoy it. It's an infectious laughter that both of you have during it, and a great momentum. The other thing I think at practice is just the renewed energy, and I know we've been out there. Not saying that it wasn't that in past years, but I mean, these new assistant coaches that Chris Creighton brought in are bringing some heat. Grant Hurd, the wide receivers coach.
Love him.
If he's not a impact maker at the wide receiver role, I don't know what is, because he wants his guys to work.
It is the most intense, rigid receiver sessions I've seen since I came to Eastern Michigan. And even when practice was over, he had them go down to the goal line. And this is why when I was interviewing Doji's dad, but he had the players get down almost like in a downward dog pose. So you're both hands on the turf and both feet. Then lift one foot and make your way to midfield. Like moving with your arms and hopping on one leg, but staying in that position. It looked like Navy SEAL training. It looked awful. And they battled their way all the way to midfield. But the way he has them run routes, he doesn't say hike. He says work. When it's time to start a pattern, he goes, work. And the guy goes into it. If a guy slips or something, he knows he's got to go right back to the front of the line and run a clean pattern. But Grant Hurd's a guy that played at Ole Miss. He's got a lot of experience. He's got that big wide receiver frame, but he is vocal. And I think the wide receiver core is going to benefit from that. It's a big team right now. There's 106 guys out on that field trying to battle for some jobs and get some playing time this fall. And there's a lot of great athletes out there. So a lot of high hopes for this fall. And you never knew how it was going to shake out with so many guys graduating, Greg, but it's a good team.
46 newcomers is what Chris Creighton and company brought in. Casey Teagarten, the new special teams coordinator, got high reviews from the specialists as we get to talk to them on the sidelines, kind of off the record, and they can't say enough great things. So lots of great moving pieces. Of course, everybody wants to know about the guys in orange, and they got some guys back there that can spin it. And it's going to be quite the competition. I mean, Cole Snyder coming in from Buffalo knows how to win in this league. Drew Vioto, of course, acclaimed throughout the country. He played, was on Minnesota's roster. He's spinning it. But then you got Jeremiah Salem, who's been in the program, that is also the guy that the guys chose to have them throw to on pro day. So that tells you what he can do as well.
Best quarterback room I think they've had since I got here. That would have been 2019. They're loaded back there, which is good. You're never going to make it through one season. Chris Creighton has never made it through an entire season with one quarterback. You've always needed two or three. Injuries develop. But these guys have been slinging the ball, and they're gonna rack up some passing yards this year. It is a very talented group, and it's been a lot of fun to watch that in practice. The way they're able to thread the needle, the way they're able to hit bombs down the sidelines. I don't think we've had an offense that's been able to open it up as much as this offense will be able to, maybe since Mike Glass was quarterback.
So lots of great things at spring practice. We know that practices are closed, especially this year with construction coming. So certainly follow emueagles.com, and we'll have more reports and insight coming your way before the spring game takes place on April 12th. It will be a chance, though, Tom. Everybody knows they love gear. That's the big thing. You love EMU swag. The equipment sale, garage sale's back once more this year, buddy. It's coming up on April 12th between the baseball game and the football game. So a chance for people that they can mark their calendars now. There'll be...
What can I get?
Well, we know as we're sitting here, we love helmets. There's bunches behind you. You've got some helmets, but they're going to have some at the sale. There's also going to be, of course, jerseys. There's going to be polos, quarter zips, you name it. Other than footwear, it's going to be sold.
I think I'm going to buy a couple of helmets, and I'm going to give one away on TikTok.
There you go.
People love them.
And if people don't know, there's a great way for them to follow you on TikTok, right?
It's called Hooked on Helmets, and I do stories about teams, football helmets, every team in the nation. We just keep moving along. I learn something new every day, which is fun, like why a certain school has certain team colors or why their nickname is a certain thing. So all that stuff's a lot of fun, and I've just had a lot of fun doing it. So it's called Hooked on Helmets. We got about 300,000 followers. I say we. I don't know who we is. Me, myself, and I have 300,000 followers, which enrages my 18-year-old daughter, who would like her own TikTok fame. But I told her, listen,
we appear on one of yours.
Out of everybody in the house, who do we think was going to go viral? The teenagers? No, it was going to be dad. We knew that.
Plus, if you ever wanted your ability to have Tom Helmer call your name, you can do it now online. Tom's newest business venture is you can have him make the call on your personal home video.
Anything you want called. Yeah, Brian Guymon, who used to play football at Eastern, he and I partnered up. And we came up with this idea. What if people sent us a clip of their kid or a wedding fail or something? Actually, Brandon White, who played baseball at Eastern, got married, and his daughter fainted at the wedding. And he sent it to me. It's an old clip, but he goes, could you make a call on this? I'm like, I'd be more than happy to. So I did, and they put it on TikTok. But it's called PlaymakerPXP.com. PlaymakerPlayByPlay.com. PlaymakerPXP.com. You send a clip in, I voice it, I send it back to you. So maybe your kid hit a big home run, or you had a monster drive on the fairway, Greg Steiner, or any of that stuff, I can voice it.
You'll be voicing that. I'll be voicing EMU baseball coming up tomorrow afternoon. It's the Michigan Wolverines in the house, as we call that a transition in the biz.
It's a great transition.
Eastern will be playing at 4 o'clock. You can catch all the action on emueagles.com and the Eastern Michigan app tomorrow.
Wear your thermals.
It's going to be cold. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Eagles are back home for the Broncos of Western Michigan. Right now, Tom, Eastern at the top third of the league, top six make it. A lot of room to go, but a chance this week to make some headway. Hopefully people can make it out to catch that one. If they can't, they can always tune me on. Or if they want, they don't like my call, they just pay you to voice over it.
Yeah, just record the game and send it to me, and I'll revoice it.
There you go.
It's always fun, though, when the other team in the county comes over and you get a chance to take a shot at the Wolverines.
Yeah, they haven't done so since early in Eric Backich's tenure. He then leaves for Clemson. So Tracy Smith, now the bench boss. So new coach there, new approach, and they're coming into town. So should be a fun one for Robbie Britt and company. We've filled up a lot of time. It's time for you all to get your fix of football. We've got Doji's dad and Chris coming up.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle. Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here.
Bowling Warehouse.
And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Bowling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Bowling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the Mitten.
Joining us now is a special guest who has traveled further than any guest we've ever had on the podcast. You've come all the way from West Africa.
Yeah, from West Africa.
Now say your name for me.
My name is Severin Dawe.
Right. And your son now is a freshman at Eastern Michigan. They call him Doji?
Yes, Doji Dawe.
And Doji's name means what?
Doji's name on my language is a courage.
Courage.
Yes,
okay.
Courage.
So I'm piecing this, this is the beautiful part of a new season and learning new players, is you guys got introduced at practice. You've come all the way from West Africa. But as far as his life, now he was born in France?
He was born in France and grew up in Africa.
That is a big transition, growing up in Africa and then coming to the United States. At what age did he come to the United States?
The age he come to the United States is 16.
Okay.
It's 2 years ago he come to the United States to go to school.
Now, here's what I know about football. They're probably not playing a lot of it in West Africa. When was the first time he ever thought about playing football?
He never played this game before.
Never?
Never. Never played this game.
Little in high school?
No, never played this game.
He's never played before now?
No.
He's learning now how to play football.
He started playing football 2 years ago in Santa Rosa.
In Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa.
So 2 years ago,
yes.
And you know nothing about football, right?
No.
When he told you he was going to play football, were you thinking soccer? Were you thinking of a different sport? Or did you know what he was going to do?
But actually, our country, we know only soccer.
Right.
When he said football, I say, oh, soccer? He said, no, American football. I say, wow, that's new.
Did you start looking at it online, or like, what is this American football? And when you saw it, were you concerned? Like, it's a big jump to playing tackle football.
When he told me that, I said, okay, let me check online to see what is the rule for that game. And I started reading the books about the games.
He is extremely tall. Do you know how tall he is? He looks like he's about 7 feet tall.
Yeah, in French we say 2 meters.
2 meters.
Okay.
Yes. So he's got the height thing.
Yes.
And why did he decide to come to Eastern Michigan? Did he talk to you about it? Like, listen, I think this is the school I want to play football at. What was that conversation like?
Oh, he told me that when he moved from college, many schools want him to come and play football.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I can't decide for you. You have to decide which one is best for you. And he said, okay, let me come here and see how it look like. And I said, okay.
And it sounds like he's very good at physics. He's very smart. I don't know what he wants to be when he grows up, but maybe scientist? Or has he ever discussed with you, like, this is what I want to be someday? Or does he want to be a pro football player?
For me, he told me his goal is to go to NFL. That's what he told me. I say, oh, wow, that's you have a long vision.
That's good. It's good to have a good goal, right?
Right.
And now I met that was your wife that was standing here
my wife,
a little bit ago?
Yes, yes.
Now she's from France,
from France, yes.
How did the two of you meet?
Okay, it's a long story.
I got time.
It's a very long story. I moved from Africa to Holland. And she's working, she's an engineer, working with NGO in Holland. So I met her in Holland, Netherlands.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
So we met in the Netherlands, and my practice, I'm Buddhist.
Okay.
So I met her in Buddhist.
Okay.
Yes, that's how we met.
Did you know as soon as you saw her, I'm going to marry her. Like, I like her.
Yes, because when I saw her, I said, hey, I fought love with her. So we started sharing things together. And she also loaned me and many things in Europe I didn't know before. So we're very close to each other. Then we married after.
And you got married in, I guess you originally lived in France.
Yeah, we married in France.
You got married in France. And then you finally said, I think we should move back to Africa.
Yeah, when we married in France, because her job is to move around the world.
Okay.
So that is why if she have a job this way, I follow her. We went that, we went to many places. So when that time, Doji was very baby when he was born.
Yeah.
So we moved from the United States for 4 years. Doji was very, very 2 years old.
Yes.
So from 2 years old, we moved to Africa until he grow big.
And he has grown very big. Yes. Was he just have like a one particular year where he grew real big? Because he's the biggest guy on the team. So did he grow fast or was it a slow process over time?
He grows fast. Well, it was 2 years, 3 years already. He's really, really bigger than all other kids.
Yeah, because usually dads like to be a little taller than their kids. He probably passed you at a very early age in height, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Sure. But, yeah, I'm really short. And right now, if I stay with my son, he passed me very well.
It's the funny thing. When he introduced you to the team, he said they really don't speak English.
Mm.
Your English is excellent. You speak very good English.
Oh, thank you.
And you learned most of it when you were in the U.S. for a short time.
Yeah, that's for 4 years. I was in the USA. I worked with Virginia State.
Okay.
And so many friends from USA say, hey, Sevi, they teach me how to speak in English.
And I ask you too, are you going to come see him play this year? And you said, probably one game. For you to get from West Africa to here, you said it took about 25 hours, right?
Yes.
That is a long time to travel, isn't it, on an airplane?
Yeah, but we support him now. So
yeah.
For me, it's important to come and see him playing games here.
Well, it's excellent talking to you. We're so glad to have him here at Eastern. It's a great university. So I think he's going to have a great time here.
Thank you, guys.
And we're happy to have him. And then we'll check back in with you when you come this fall to see him play. You should come maybe join us on the radio.
Oh, great. I will be glad for.
I love your personality. It's great. We're happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to his entire career here at Eastern Michigan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us. As well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Up joining us now, Chris Creighton, head coach, and spring ball is underway. And it's really like drinking through a fire hose this time of year for these players, isn't it? You have a lot of new faces on this squad. How do you feel after day one?
I don't know yet. It was fun being out there. Blue sky, being outside, awesome energy. Love our team in that way, always have. But it was a lot. You know, we've had some run-throughs, but it's install one, so a lot of people running around, you know, over a 21-period practice. So lots of film to watch and, a great opportunity to get better from opportunity one to opportunity two.
One of the biggest changes is so many new faces. That's the reality of college football now, is learning your pieces. How difficult has it been making sure this roster is built? Because I know the goal has been all along 85 for spring ball. 85 scholarship people,
yeah.
And players and everything else.
Yeah, no, I think we have 106 out there.
Right.
You know, in terms of the whole team. And so it is a a big team right now for sure in the spring. You know, there's years where it's hard to practice, and we're running two sets of Skelly at the same time. So that part's been fantastic.
I know there's going to be some rule changes in college football. One of them is going to be the communication through the helmets. How much do you think that will really change things for you guys?
It'll change things for huddle teams. For, you know, no huddle teams, you know, you still are going to have to figure out a way to communicate. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So it'll be different. Direct communication with a quarterback up until 15 seconds left on the clock. You know, those conversations I think are going to be really helpful. Even I think people think about play calls, which is obvious, but I think you're also going to be able to help with some of the game management by talking to the quarterback during that time. And so that'll be interesting. You know, we're trying to get that going this spring in preparation, but aren't there yet.
Do you anticipate trying to use that as just even ways to just communicate and practice how you might run?
Yeah, we're going to try to get that done so that we can practice it.
One of the new faces on your coaching staff too. You're able to get a new special teams coordinator as well as Casey Teagarden coaching the defensive ends. You got to know wide receivers coach. How have they fit in so far?
Oh, they're awesome. Now, the thing is, it's not a lot of new faces. You know, it's two, and they're really fitting in well. I mean, this is our first practice, but we've had plenty of time together already. They're great culture fits, and they're really good coaches. I mean, I'm really excited about our staff.
One of the things I'm excited about is EA Sports is putting out the new college football game this summer. So I can take Eastern Michigan in dynasty mode and work with them. But can I be Chris Creighton? Have you opted into the game? Can I be you during that game? Is that part of it?
No one's asked me anything. So you can always be me, but you can find much better.
I don't think I can. Yeah. I'll just have to decide whether I want him to have the beard or not. Yeah, you right. know, there's two different Chris Creightons. Right now it's beard Chris Creighton, right?
Accessory kit.
Hey, there's big changes coming to this stadium too. They're going to have the new turf. There's a lot of changes going on around with the facilities. It's an exciting time to be an Eagle, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, to some degree, we've been quiet here, you know, in January and February, and now we're starting spring, and, you know, we're going to just keep working and keep getting better. But internally, we are super excited about lots of things that are happening inside this football team. And then you just mentioned, you know, the facility with Max's gift. I mean, this track, and I think this needs to be more a part of the conversation. Our track, our storied track program is going to get their own standalone facility, and they're really going to do it right. And they are so deserving. Won just another championship here a couple weeks ago. And then that is going to allow for us to, you know, wall to wall green turf this place with brand new gray in the middle, and it is going to be tight.
This Friday, you get an opportunity to host a lot of high school coaches from around the state, bring them into those facilities. I know it's something that you've over your 10 years really done a great job reconnecting, but what does it mean to have those coaches now really embracing and just seeing those numbers continue to grow each year?
Yeah, no, our Chalk Talk is a little bit different than what people normally do in the spring, like, you know, call it a clinic. And so we'll have things prepared and we will present a couple things, but the whole concept is that we want coaches to come with ideas and questions of things that they want to improve on, things that they want to talk about. So instead of just presenting, and we may or may not talk about what people want to hear, we're allowing for people to come with ideas. We'll break up and then we'll discuss what they want to learn and what they want to talk about. And I've always thought it's the best way, you know, to learn. And so we've just gotten outstanding feedback every year that we've done it. We've had people that this will be their, you know, 11th Chalk Talk. And so we're excited about, you know, small colleges come and high school coaches, and we love it. They watch practice first. And so I think every time you watch practice, I know every time I watch someone's practice, I learn something. You might just hear something said just a little bit differently, or it might just be the vibe, the culture, how you run drills, when you stretch, for how long. I mean, there's just a million things that you don't think about. And so excited about opening up, you know, that practice opportunity this Friday.
Chris, how big is it in recruiting? I know it's tough with NIL and the transfer portal, but when you can point to a guy like Max Crosby and say, listen, if your goal is to come here and play on Sundays, we had this guy. How does that resonate? A guy that is so prominent in the NFL and that so many players are so respectful of, to be able to point to that jersey and say, yeah, he was here. That could be you too.
Yeah. So, you know, almost everybody we talk to, you knows about Max, you know, so it's fun. You know, he's a, like a household name, at least, you know, in the National Football League. He certainly is. And just so proud of him. You know, March 11th was another anniversary for him. Just super proud of him for lots of reasons. But we talk just as much about Andrew Wiley. And we talk about last year's combine with Jose Ramirez winning two of the events and City So being, you know, a top 10 offensive lineman in the raw athletic score in 22 years, right? I mean, we talk about those
Dylan
guys.
Drummond,
I don't stop there. I mean, we just, you know, and so, yeah, people want to play in the National Football League, and it absolutely can happen from being here.
One of those opportunities comes up on Thursday with Pro Day at the practice facility. Having your senior class from last year come back and an opportunity for them to showcase, what are you most looking forward to for on Pro Day?
Yeah, well, I mean, Samson just came back. I hadn't seen him, you know, since December. So it's like a mini reunion, you know. That part's always fun. I remember the Pro Day after the 16 season when Cole Gardner and Andrew Wiley, you know, both measured at 6'5". I think they had 33 and 34 inch verticals. You know, they weighed, I think it was like 303 and 304. And so I hadn't been with them for 3 months, and they're walking out there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I miss those guys. You know what I mean? Yes, I know. It's like, gosh, let's pick a new color to red shirt or something. But so there's, you know, but it's just so good, you know, seeing guys again and reconnecting.
Chris, it's just an exciting time of the year. I love it when I can look out the window of the building. There's guys running around on the field. It's just football time. I mean, the season never ends, but it's always nice when you just have that time on the field with the team.
Oh, yeah. No question. It is my favorite time of year coaching-wise.
The spring?
The spring. Yeah, it is.
Why? So just because it's more like settling in kind of?
No, it's because I love to game plan and I love game day. There's no question, but maybe I guess I love even more developing and getting guys better. And so we don't have scout teams, you know, on O or D when we're going in the spring because we're going against each other. So every player is getting coached in our offense, in our defense, in our special teams. And so the development, you know, from opportunity 1 to 15 it's phenomenal. I absolutely love it. Going every other day and having a day where as a staff, we get to break down all the film and have all the install ready. And then, so we'll have an hour and a half with those guys tomorrow to watch the film and to install some for the next day. And so the process is slower, you know, in August, it's super intense and fast. And cause you're always getting ready for a game. Now it's just all our guys with our staff just working to get better. I love it.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.